God is a keeper, and certainly we thank him for allowing us the privilege of being here and keeping us safe, keeping us sound and sane. And we owe him glory and praise and honor and thanks for the things that he has done and the things that he is doing and the things he will do. We do thank God for your presence as we give ourselves to hear from God. It is important for us to posture ourselves, to prepare our hearts to hear God speak. As always, we go to Psalm 25. Psalms 25. First five verses. Psalms 25. And it reads, "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause." He says, "Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." That's our word for preparation. I would that we posture our hearts accordingly so that God can sow the seed of his word into our hearts, that we will yield unto him a bountiful harvest. God want us fruitful. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we thank you for another day's journey. You've been good to us all day, and you're good to us now. And Father, you are the one who speaks, and we hear and do to bring glory to you and your name and good to mankind. We pray individually and collectively, Lord, to be led by you. We ask as always for the forgiveness of sins and the cleansing of our hearts, that, Lord, what we do will be pleasing in your sight. Lord, govern our minds and guard our tongues, Father, that we speak your truth. Lord, we speak Jesus, for he declared that he is the truth. Lord, we pray that you be a God in the midst of us, that our coming be not in vain. Lord, that as we are here among each other, we are in fellowship with you. So, Lord, have your way in this place, in me and through me, in these your people. We ask for connection, oneness, so that the message of Christ's coming be not hindered or hampered. But, Father, it will go out throughout the earth and hit the ears of the unsaved, convict their hearts to convert them from their ways. Lord, we want you, Lord, to use us as instruments of evangelism so that the unsaved world can hear your word, receive your son. Thank you for what you're doing in this setting and what you're doing through the virtual outlets. We pray for those that are in their humble abodes or riding along in their cars or whatever they may be doing at this time. Lord, that your word will catch their ears, penetrate their heart. Lord, and motivate them and encourage them, Lord, to serve you with their whole heart. Love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, we We do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. While you are seated, we have a hospital list. Hospital list is Sister Virginia McCormick and Sister Wanda Glaster. Our bereaved list is Sister Yolanda Jackson and family. Our prayer list is Brother Robert Dowley, Sister Bertha McLean, Brother Ty Alexander, Sister Patricia Kelly, Brother Joe Shorter, Sister Carrie Powell, Sister Betty Hughes, Sister Etna Quillman, Sister Carolyn Fisher, Sister Classy Evan, Sister Belinda Hall, Sister Louise Blackman, Brother Douglas Ward Jr., Reverend Edward May, Sister Donna Mitchell, Sister Louise Broom, Brother Tommy Bland, and Sister Gloria Mormon. Amen. Amen. I ask that you bear them in mind and pray for them, for the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous avails much. Let me give my sentiments of appreciation to Reverend McCoy and Reverend Gilchrist for the last 2 weeks of Bible study. Amen. Come on, help me appreciate them. Amen. I know you were blessed. I was listening in, and they did a wonderful job. And we thank God for them and their willingness to share the Word of God with the people of God. Thank you for your patience and your prayers as we convalesce. We got some rest, didn't go anywhere, just laid low to kind of re-energize this old body. Jesus said, the body is weak and the spirit is willing. And sometimes we have to go aside to re-energize these bodies. Amen. Now, I know y'all call me young, but sometimes I feel it. Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? Amen. Amen. All right, Matthew chapter 16, verses 1 through 12. We are systematically going through the Gospel of Matthew, and I pray and hope that this is not boring you. I hope your attention is being retained and you are receiving the Word of God. I think it's so important for us as we study the Bible that we don't just jump from here to there, but we get in a book and read it through, meditate, so you can receive the nuggets that God has for you to receive from these books. Amen. And so I pray and hope that you are not being bored by our systematic study. There's a lot of uncharted ground and uncharted waters in the Gospel of Matthew that we have read it, but we have skipped over it. And we now have a chance to intake and ingest the Word of God so that we have a better understanding of the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. Amen. It is all about Jesus, isn't it? Amen. You can't find yourself apart from Jesus. You only find yourself when you investigate and you see Jesus for who he is. That's when God begins to reveal to you, you and your purpose. When you understand and you have some knowledge and understanding of who Jesus is. Amen. Amen. So Matthew chapter 16, verses 1 through 12. Keep your seats. The Pharisees also with Sadducees came and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, When it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today. For the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the time? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. Verse 5 says, and when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, and how many baskets ye took up, neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Beware, a word of warning, a word of caution. Beware. Look out. Don't be taken by the doctrine. What it reveals to us is that the child of God, the Christian, is not to give ear to every teaching. But he is to be warned against certain teachings, especially teachings that are damnable. Jesus said, beware. Beware. At the end of chapter 15, after Jesus finished feeding the crowd in the Gentile region of Decapolis, he traveled back into Gentile or Jewish territory to the city of Magadan. Magadan is believed to be the same city as Magdala, which is where Mary Magdalene is from. Decapolis is on the southeastern side of the Sea of Galilee, while Magadan is on the northwest side of the Sea of Galilee. When Jesus is on the west side of the sea, he is in Jewish territory. When he is on the east side of the sea, he is in Gentile territory. So here it is in the text. He's back in Jewish territory, and he's confronted by Pharisees and Sadducees. Now, the Pharisees and Sadducees were different in belief and practice. The Pharisees were the conservatives, the fundamentalists, and legalists, whereas the Sadducees were the liberals. The Sadducees only accepted the first five books of the Old Testament, while the Pharisees accepted all of the Old Testament. The Pharisees or the Sadducees did not believe in miracles, while the Pharisees did. The Pharisees believed in resurrection, while the Sadducees did not. The Pharisees believed in angels and demons and heaven and hell, and the Sadducees did not. They were diametrically different. But don't you be naive to think that people who are different in doctrine and in practice, don't you be naive to think that they can't come together to oppose good. And even in some cases or occasions, they will come together to oppose you. They were different. They were divided in many of their beliefs and practices, but were united in their opposition to Jesus. Verse 1 says, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting, desiring him that he show them a sign from heaven. Notice the word tempting. Tempting. They were tempting him. Pyrazo in the Greek, which means to test, to try, to prove in a bad sense. Pyrazo carries the idea of showing someone unapproved. In other words, they wanted to prove that Jesus was evil. He did evil, and what he was saying was not true. They were spending all of their time to oppose Christ, to oppose Jesus, because they wanted the crowd to leave him and follow them. They tempted him. They were looking for a reason to accuse him. This is not the only time Jesus was tempted by the religious leaders. Matthew chapter 12, verses 9 and 10 says, when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him? All questions are not good questions. And sometimes people are not asking questions to ascertain knowledge. Sometimes they are asking questions to set you up in hopes of tripping you up. Is it lawful, Jesus, to heal on the Sabbath day? They saw healing as working. They saw healing as a violation of the law, and it wasn't a violation of the law. And Jesus knew how to respond. Notice that I don't want you to miss the fact that they tempted him. They tempted him to accuse him. John chapter 8, verse 6 is a part of this woman who was caught in adultery. And the religious leaders, they brought her into the temple where Jesus was teaching, and they set her before Jesus in the middle of the temple. And they said that she was caught. And they said this tempting him that they might have an occasion to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. Matthew chapter 19 verse 3. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? They tempted. They wanted to show him as evil. They wanted to discredit him. They wanted to prove him unapproved. They had wrong motives. And it's a good thing that Jesus could see beyond the flesh. He could see the heart of man. And he knew they had wrong motives. They were seeking an occasion to accuse him. If I had time, I would talk about how people are looking for something on you. But since I don't have time and you're not the subject of the text, I won't take the time. But I will tell you, beware with all that shouting you're doing. Beware with all that serving you're doing, because people don't look for bad things in bad people. They look for bad things in good people. But if I had time. He knew their hearts, and he didn't even entertain their questions because he knew their hearts. He knew their motives. Notice what they did according to verse 1. The Pharisees and the Sadducees approached and tested him, asking him to show them a sign from heaven. Jesus revealed himself to them numerous times through signs and wonders. In Matthew chapter 12, the Pharisees were unwilling to acknowledge the power of God as the source of Jesus' miracles. They said Jesus performed miracles by the power of Beelzebub, the prince of devils, or prince of demons. The Pharisees and Sadducees could not know Jesus as the Messiah because they were spiritually blind and spiritually deaf. In other words, they did not have spiritual eyes to see nor spiritual ears to hear because of their rejection of Jesus. They requested a sign. Show us a sign. But their request was with doubt. They were asking for something that even if Jesus decided to cater to their request, they would not believe him. They were requesting with doubt. And that's the occasion, or that's most people today request Jesus to do this or that, but they have doubting hearts. They're not believing him for who he is and what he's able to do. Making requests with doubt. You want to make a request to be healed, but you don't think he will heal you. You make a request for God to do something in your marriage, but you don't believe him to do it. You're making requests with doubt. Asking him to do something with your children, but you don't have the faith nor the belief in God for him to do it. You're making requests with doubt. You have heard so much against what you desire that you don't even desire what you should desire. You know you can be a doubter sitting on the pew, don't you? You can be a doubter clapping your hands. You can be a doubter singing his songs. You can even be a doubter preaching his word. Doubt. They made requests. Show us a sign from heaven. They wanted Jesus to satisfy them in their unbelief. And Jesus was not going to satisfy their evil, cynical hearts. They said, show us a sign from heaven. It was believed that signs from the earth could be duplicated. You remember when God sent Moses and Aaron into Egypt? You know, Aaron threw down the rod and it became a serpent. And magicians came and did the same. And they were able to duplicate some of the miracles, some of the signs that were performed. So it was believed that miracles from the earth could be duplicated. So they said to Jesus, show us a sign from heaven. And I like this because Jesus wanted them to see that this was not a major sign. This, he says, this is something you can perceive yourself. He used something familiar to reveal the simplicity of their request. Signs of the sky are not major signs. They are simple signs. They were good at discerning the face of the sky. So Jesus said, red sky in the evening means nice weather the next day. But a red and lowering sky in the morning means stormy weather the day of. Sky signs are simple, natural signs. And he didn't want them to get hung up on the natural. He wanted them to tap into the supernatural. His signs were supernatural, were beyond the ability of natural men. Healing the sick, supernatural sign. Exercising demons, supernatural sign. Forgiving sin, supernatural sign. Raising the dead, supernatural sign. Feeding thousands, supernatural signs. He did what no other man could do. Walking upon raging water, supernatural sign. Even his disciples marveled at the miracle of Jesus walking upon the water. He says, I don't want you to get hung up on the natural. I want you to tap into the supernatural. And that's the problem with us as church folks and the church today. We are so hung up on the natural that we don't even think God is able to do the supernatural. God is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. He's never changing. God can do what he did then now. The Pharisees, they couldn't, and the Sadducees couldn't read the supernatural signs, but they could read the natural. He says, I'm supernatural. I'm God in flesh. It's both divinity with humanity. In seminary, it was called the hypostatic union, that he was 100% man and 100% God at the same time. He says, you can read the sky, but you can't read me. You can discern the face of the sky, but you can't discern my face. You don't know who I am. Jesus is speaking to them. He says, you missed the message, but yet you are requesting another message. He says, I've already given you messages, signs as to who I am, and you missed it. Now, this is not the first time Jesus responded to them by way of calling them wicked and adulterous people seeking after a sign. In Matthew chapter 12, verses 38 through 40, Jesus said, a wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, because the Pharisees came asking Jesus for a sign. Give us a sign. Give us a sign. And he repeats this again in chapter 16 of what he said in chapter 12. Now, I want you to get this. This shows that people are not listening, especially when they want what they want. Listen, people are not listening when they want to do what they want to do. People are not listening when they want to be against you and hate you and dislike you and try to disprove you. Jesus had already said to them how wicked and adulterous it is for them to seek out their sign. And here it is again, four chapters later, asking for the same thing. It's kind of like a nagging child trying to wear you out and break you down to get what they want. Y'all been there? Want what they want. And Jesus didn't change. He said the same thing to him again in chapter 16 that he said to him in chapter 12. Now, he called them wicked and adulterous. They saw the signs and miracles and refused to believe him as the Messiah. They had not missed the truth. They ignored it. All who rejects Jesus is wicked and adulterous. I want you to underscore that. They are wicked in their refusal to believe the obvious truth. They are adulterous in their unfaithfulness to God. In calling him adulterous, Jesus used a metaphor of spiritual unfaithfulness. It's what you see in the Old Testament. How Israel constantly chased after, desired idols. They were adulterous. They were not faithful unto God. And here it is, religious leaders. Jesus exposed them as being unfaithful to God. Many people today are adulterous. They are spiritually unfaithful. They go from church to church, place to place, person to person, seeking something that won't satisfy or save them. They are chasing after magnificent moments, spectacular happenings. They want to see something instead of hear something. But let me tell you, signs don't save. Believing in Jesus Christ saves. If you are looking for signs, you will not settle in your faith in Jesus Christ. Listen, people just running all over the place, especially in this pandemic. Ears are itching. Want to just hear something. Just running. Won't be where they belong. I'm teaching better than y'all saying amen. All over the place. And it's not, listen, it can't be all the preachers. It can't be all the church folk. It's just they're looking for something that will wow them. Looking for the latest fad. All over the place. He says they are adulterous. They are unfaithful spiritually. See, I've been trying to say to us that church membership is spiritual. You can't belong everywhere. Why don't you get somewhere and sit down and grow some roots? So God can produce some fruit. I'm talking now. I think I'll say that again. Won't you get somewhere and sit down and be situated and develop and grow some roots so God can get some fruit? You can't grow roots and fruit and produce fruit getting a little bit over here and a little bit over here and a little bit over here and a little bit over there. Sit down somewhere. You can't be settled in your faith in Christ, looking after and chasing after signs. Jesus would, he says, I'm going to provide one sign, one more sign. Outside of what I've already done, I'm going to provide one more sign. And he says, it's the sign of Jonah. Jesus would be like Jonah in that as Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days, Jesus would be in the belly of the earth for 3 days. As Jonah came back to the earth from the fish, Jesus would come back to life and back to earth through the resurrection. As an entire city was able to repent of their sins following Jonah's preaching, the entire world will have access for forgiveness of God following Jesus' ascension into heaven and the founding of the church of Jesus Christ. He's speaking of his death, burial, and resurrection. And he says it is the most obvious sign that he is the Messiah. If that sign cannot convince these religious leaders, nothing can. Jesus said in Luke chapter 16, verse 31, if they hear not Moses and the prophet, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. He says, you're not getting another sign other than the sign of Jonah. He says, you're wicked and you're adulterous, but I'm going to die for you. I'm going to be buried, but I'm giving up. Hallelujah. I'm getting up. He refuses to give them another sign in regards to the sky. But then notice he pronounces judgment on them. Notice the last clause of verse 4. It says, and he left them and departed. He left them and departed. Now these words are stronger than they appear on the page. It is not that he simply walked away from them. This is a pronouncement of judgment. In Matthew chapter 10, in verses 15, 1 through 15, he says, he commissioned his disciples to go into the cities preaching the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus says, if you are received, abide in peace. But if you are rejected and the word is not heard, depart, shaking the dust off your feet. And Jesus said, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Now, it's not only speaking of cities, it's also speaking of individuals. That if you are constant in your rejection of Christ, you will eventually face final judgment. And he says, final judgment is worse, more severe than God's judgment that fell on Sodom and Gomorrah. Listen, you don't want to face eternal judgment. Listen, we laugh about hell and all of that, make jokes and all of that about hell, but you don't want to face eternal judgment. I want you to know now, hell is real. While you're skinning and grinning about hell, hell is real. And listen, there are no parole programs from hell. You mess around and go to hell, you just in hell. And you are eternally in hell. That's why we're preaching and shouting Jesus and preaching and shouting salvation, because we don't want you to go to hell. But if you're constant in your rejection, If you have hardened your heart towards Christ, like Pharaoh hardened his heart toward God, you will eventually find yourself in final judgment. If I had time, I would talk about how hell is not a vacation spot. That is not a sandy beach with hot sun now. If I had time, I would tell you that hell is a place of torment. If I had time, I would tell you that it's the abyss where it is bottomless, that you are forever falling. There are no matches in hell that you can light to see. It is complete darkness. And Jesus describes it as a place where there'll be gnashing and of teeth and weeping. A place of eternal separation. Now, if I had time, I would talk about how Satan is not the Lord of hell. You know, some people think that he's in charge down there. No, the last time I read the record, it says that he's going to be thrown in along with his imps. So he's not in charge. But since I don't have time, let me keep my course in the lesson and tell you about point two. He says, beware of false teaching. After crossing over to the other side, Jesus warned his disciples against the false teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. He calls their teaching leaven. And leaven is a substance used to cause dough to rise. In the case of the Pharisees and Sadducees' teaching, Jesus spoke of their influence that modifies the word of God for the worse. So false teachers are influencers for the worse. They sound good, but the outcome of their teachings are not good. They influence for the worse. So a small portion of leaven can penetrate a person's heart and influence them to live a life contrary to God. Satan doesn't need a whole big space of your life and a whole big space and a part of your heart. He needs just a little bit. You ever heard that saying, if you give him an inch, he'll take a mile? Just a little leaven. That's why they say to you, just take one puff. Just take one sip. Just lay down with me one time. Just hear me out one time. Just a little space. And he gets to working with that little space. See, here it is. The Pharisees only needed a little bit of their influence in the persons that would hear them so that they could influence them for the worse. When you get time, go and read Matthew 23. And that's, we call it the woe chapter. And it tells you how damnable their teachings were. He warns them to beware of their teaching. Listen, three things and I'll leave you about the leaven. The leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees is a symbol of hypocrisy. And hypocrisy means to play act, to pretend. The Pharisees had a show of piety without true holiness. Hypocrisy is like leaven in that it gradually increases and spreads corruption. So the Pharisees and Sadducees were teachers that corrupt the character of their listeners. Play acting. making big prayer in public, piety without true holiness, giving alms to be seen of men, piety without holiness, fasting and disfiguring their faces so others would know that they were fasting. They had the ritual and the routines down, but their motives were off. You know, just like a lot of folk now, they know how to come to church, and if they need to go to the restroom, they know how to hold up that one Baptist finger and tiptoe out of church. They know how to say all the right things, but just won't do the right thing. Piety without true holiness. It's hypocrisy. He says, beware of their hypocrisy. Here's the second thing. Leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees is leadership over others without support from God or the scripture. Y'all missed that, didn't you? They were self-appointed authority. They self-appointed authority to speak where God had not spoken. See, I said to you before, if you're going to come to me, come with me, come to me. Yeah. If we're going to talk, let's talk over the word. See, I know what it's like for folks to say, well, you know, we ain't talking about that though. When you start talking about the Bible, because they are not familiar with that area. That's a person that has self-authority. And they want to draw you out of the word into their realm of self-authority. You want to talk? Since the nature of this thing is church, and the nature of this thing is Christ, we ought to be able to talk through his word. But they were self-appointed authority to speak where God had not spoken. He says, beware of that. You know, beware of folks trying to read something into your life. You know, like it's so deep that you're going to get a car. Nothing deep about that. If you're clocking in somewhere, you ought to be able to get a car. You need to run to some psychic to look at your palm or to look at your forehead and tell you you finna get a car. Y'all making me do it. I see something coming your way. Something coming all our way. And you just jumping and bucking on that general statement like they done said something deep. Amen. Self-appointed authority to speak where God has not spoken. I see you getting a job. I see you getting a man. You keep applying, you're going to eventually get a job. You keep on dressing up, doing your hair, putting a little lipstick on your lips and a little rudge or rouge or whatever y'all call it on your face. You're going to eventually what? I thought y'all would get with me then. I got to quit at 7 o'clock. Listen, leaven is a symbol of sin. Be careful of people who's trying to get you to live a life of sin. Trying to influence you to sin. Sin is dangerous and destructive. So he says, beware of the leaven. Now let me conclude and I'm finished. He exhorts his disciples not to emulate the Pharisees and Sadducees. Don't be leaders leading without the authority of God or Scripture. Lead always under the authority of Christ. Amen. 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 Lord, we thank you for your truth, your word that confronts us to convict us, to convert us from our ways. Lord, that will help us know the mind of Christ and have the mind of Christ to live life fruitful for you and for your glory. We ask you to lead us from this place. Breathe upon us and keep us, Lord. Please. Protect us in the midst of this pandemic. Yes. Lord, we know that you are ultimately in charge. Yes. And you sit high and look low. And you orchestrate our affairs. So, Lord, we thank you, for keeping us thus far. And we ask you to keep us as we continue on. Thank you for what you have done in our church, for our church. Lord, that we have been in service a year since the pandemic. And we give you glory and praise that no one has said that they have contracted the COVID, Lord, from the church. And you said, Lord, that if we come, you will heal. So we've been coming. And Lord, you've been healing. Thank you, Lord. We ask you to bless those that we have mentioned tonight as being hospitalized, bereaved, and sick and shut in. Touch them, Lord. Give them a healing and deliverance. Comfort. Peace and joy. In Jesus' name, amen.